Welcome to episode 15 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I'm your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me today, again, my co-host, feel like I can't get rid of you,
Mueller. You don't have to sound so disappointed.
They don't know what happens behind the scenes.
That's
just see
very
the
fair.
Scenes. And back with us again, our own all-day cowboy, not even midnight, all-day cowboy from the road, Brandon Davis, still riding with us here this week.
Hey, guys. What an intro.
Right.
I mean, I call you all day cowboy because you are like in the streets worldwide for us. Like
it's better than I can't shake you like a fungus.
Yeah.
Like
he said. Did you just compare me to Pitbull?
No, I think I compared you to Midnight Cowboy, but we'll let that
Mr. Worldwide.
Sit. Yeah.
Mr. 205.
Mr. in the streets with the heat, Brandon Davis. Yeah, it's good to have you back. It's good to have you back. So today, now with that nice thing that shows we're all friends and all good and tight on this show working together. We're going to be talking about some fun stuff today. We have the Disney Fox deal, which is about to be completed. And by the time you hear in this, good Lord willing, it will have all the dots will have been dotted. All the T's will have been crossed and that deal will be done.
Skirt.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We are also going to talk about the official title for Terminator 6 and what it means for the franchise, and are we actually going to get a good installment out of this? So we're going to discuss all of that.
Swerve.
We're going to get a little deep with the new Toy Story 4 trailer that has dropped, and we are going to talk about James Gunn's triumphant return to the MCU.
Yeah.
Ba-ba-bum. All that next on Comic Book Nation. If you want to subscribe and ride with us in general, you can always find new episodes on the site every Wednesday, every Friday. We also have an RSS feed you can subscribe to. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio. You can always contact us and continue the discussion at the hashtag Comic Book Nation. And if you leave a good review, we will be reading reviews consistently throughout the show and sending our loyalist fans something nice, a comicbook.com t-shirt, so leave us a great review. We appreciate it. Thanks. So, let's get to it, and let's talk about the Disney Fox deal first. This has been a long time coming since it's been announced. We've all been freaking out about this, and we've written 1,000,004 articles, which is about to become 2,000,000 in the course of the next 7 days, probably, because this deal's about to be done. Like, Disney and Fox put out this announcement that it's going to be done as of Wednesday, March, whatever date this is. I've lost track of time, but it's going to be signed, and this is going to be official. Disney will acquire the assets of 20th Century Fox, which is there's a lot more to this deal, but that's the point that we care about,
yeah.
Right? That 20th Century Fox will now fall under Disney, all its movie properties. For us in the geek culture community, I mean, this is a big deal on the Star Wars front. This is a big deal on the Marvel Cinematic Universe front with the X-Men properties and Fantastic Four finally coming home. So I'm not going to get too deep into this because we got to make sure like all of this actually goes into place. But how are you guys feeling about this? Are you excited? And what are you most excited to see? For me, I'm excited to see Kevin Feige finally be able to kind of start to bubble and get excited about plans he has, because you know the man has plans. He's got plans on plans on plans, and probably alternate universe and, you know, in case I'm not here plans on top of those plans. So I'm excited to hear like when, you know, slowly but surely getting teases of something official with this, you know, this big introduction we know is coming. And I'm just excited for not just Feige, but everybody in general at Marvel to begin to at least speculate or fantasize and discuss and do all that stuff, because I mean that's going to be the fun part for me, is the discussions of the what ifs before we get to the casting arguments and all that stuff.
Mine's easy. I mean, it's X-Men all the way. I've been so I've been called a downer on the X-Men movies, slightly negative.
Not to be confused with realistic.
So I've been called a negative Nancy when it comes to the X-Men movies. I like some of them. I just tend to be a little bit more, because I'm a big X-Men fan, and you see the potential there, and then you look over here, and Marvel's just been like, look at what we did. Look at all this patience. Look at this long-term planning. And then Fox is like, let's shoehorn it all in, and let's redo this one storyline multiple times. I'm just excited to see Marvel's brand of patience and seed storytelling be applied to like one of my favorite groups, and I cannot wait. That's my biggest thing. I mean, the Fantastic Four and some of the other stuff is great, but I'm all about the X-Men.
BD.
I'm here for Vanellope from Wreck-It Ralph interacting with predators.
That's oddly specific, but oddly really fun at the same time.
No,
I'll pay to see that.
Yeah, I would pay to see that.
Think about all the possibilities with Wreck-It Ralph 3 now.
Oh, man.
But, Dr. Doom. Like, who's going to be the next big bad after Thanos? It could be Dr. Doom now. Silver Surfer could be involved. I'm really excited for a good
Galactus,
Fantastic Four movie, hopefully.
Yeah.
Galactus. I'm just, like, wondering, does Marvel Studios, does Disney squander the opportunity to tease a setup at the end of Endgame? Because it's the biggest stage they're ever going to have. It's tying everything of these 11 years into a nice little bow. So do they take that stage, this huge, monumental, momentous moment in their MCU history, to then introduce Tony Stark to Professor X in a post-credit scene, just like we introduced Tony Stark to Nick Fury in the Iron Man post-credit scene that launched the larger universe? Do we say, well, guess what? The universe is even larger now.
But here's the thing: who is Xavier in your dream scenario?
A new actor, a brand new actor.
Okay, so that's that. Whoever they cast for Xavier in the future,
you don't even have to show him. Here. Do what you did with Thanos the first time around. Just have a bald guy in a wheelchair. We'll all know.
Yeah, voiceover. I mean, it is. I mean, that's the thing. Now, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head, and we're going to move on past this because we're going to be talking about this a lot next week.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, that's the nail on the head to think about is the timing, right? This is getting done before Endgame. We have time. We know how Marvel will roll out actors behind the premiere to shoot something that they're going to throw into the movie like in a couple days because when they want to keep that level of secrecy.
But I don't necessarily want that if it's going to be shoehorned or
I don't think it'll be shoehorned.
It wouldn't be shoehorned. They would have had the planning. It would just depend on if the deal got done.
They've shot post-credit scenes after a movie premiered.
I know, but this is not just your simple post-credit sequence. Setting up
like
years
said, all
of
you
stuff.
Need is a ball guy, a wheelchair, a room,
also,
and Nick Fury.
Let's not act like Kevin Feige hasn't been thinking about this.
Well,
just because every time we talk to him and we ask about this, he gives a political, I'll think about that when I can answer. Come on. Behind
like
closed
said,
doors, the dude is thinking about it.
He has
plans for this.
But as
They've
fans,
known it's coming for a year now.
But as fans, we can be unrealistic as to
I know,
what
we
is
can be,
doable.
But it's just a question to think about. The timing is makes it possible now. So will
timing
they?
Makes it, there's so much time.
Yeah.
Like to us, yes. But to people who actually do this for a living, no.
Oh, but
there's
had
not
it,
that
but
much time.
For a living, they've known Disney's going to buy Fox for, what, at least a year now?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and who knows what the conversations were behind closed doors before that even got out. Kevin Feige knows this is coming. He's had plenty of time to think about it.
That's all fine until money's involved.
I don't understand
involved.
What you're... Wait, hold on.
Until money's involved and, like, that's all fine.
I don't understand what you're arguing for. Do you not want... Wait, let me ask you. Do you not want this?
Bring one of your Avengers in for a half a day shoot.
I just got on here and talked about patience. So why the hell would I then go, but I need it now, tap my vein? No, take your time.
Okay, we're going to take this out to the fans. This is getting heated. We're going
to
take it out to the fans.
I had to catch myself.
And we're going to take this out to the fans. Comic Book Nation, do you want Avengers Endgame to have an X-Men, tease or button
it's
tease?
It's coming.
I mean, I agree. I don't want it to feel rough.
I think this is going to be an article on the site. I think everybody needs to address this question. But
Matt
Mueller's going to
write
on.
Why Avengers Endgame
this
shouldn't have an
X-Men apart. We're going to lose a whole show to this question. Let us know what you think. # Comic Book Nation.
The Hulk's going to have a weapon in Endgame if his new toy is any indication.
Talking about one universe to talking about the possibilities of another. What was that?
Breaking news over here.
The Hulk is going to have a new toy in Endgame if his new action figure that hasn't been revealed yet is any indication. I just got a text that says that.
Oh, boy. Well, there you go. So that's some
cool.
Breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news.
So, let's talk about, we're going from one universe to another. We're talking about possibilities, and we're talking about the DCEU now because there's been a major shakeup at Warner Brothers. The CEO, Kevin Tsujihara, had to step down amidst a major scandal, which we're not going to get too deep in. I have a whole other file about this scandal and how crazy it is. But, I mean, this was a controversial figure. Why we're bringing this up is Tsujihara is kind of a controversial figure, both in kind of the early missteps of the DCEU, which he was kind of cited as being responsible for. I don't know if you remember, but we were all here when that angry fan wrote that open letter to him, basically like slamming him. I think it was around the time of maybe Wonder... It was around before Wonder Woman came out. And it was like this angry supposed Warner Brothers staffer like wrote this open letter and just put it out there online, and it blew up. I remember because I was researching
it. Remember that.
And yeah, and just slamming him and slamming the executives for screwing up the DCEU and Batman v Superman and all that stuff. And this naysayer said Wonder Woman was already going to track to suck, so we already know that was wrong. But so this guy's been a controversial figure, but now he's gone in. He was kind of responsible for trying to also spearhead this turnaround that was happening. And the basic thing I have for you guys is, like, what happens now? Do you think there's enough plans already in place for the DCEU? Because it had started turning around, right? Like, Justice League was a complete cluster. But Wonder Woman did it. Aquaman's a billion. Shazam's looking nice. Joker's going to be really interesting. You have Birds of Prey, which is kind of getting a lot of, you know, generating a nice buzz already.
And then
Suicide Squad. Yeah, and Wonder Woman 1984, highly anticipated. The Suicide Squad became, just jumped to the top of the list because of something we're going to talk about later, which is James Gunn and Idris Elba stepping in for Will Smith in this crazy storyline, and this probably, like, hard R thing we're going to get. And yeah, I mean, do you think there's enough in place there to just kind of keep rolling through this transition? Or is this going to be another... Because Warner Brothers is plagued by this, right? I mean, that's like the story behind the story of Warner Brothers. It's too much executive infighting, like too many switcheroos, changes in kind of leadership or creative leadership, and then we have to go back to the drawing board, do things over, or things get muddled, and like it just becomes a mess.
I don't think DC movies will really be affected by this. I don't think we have reason to. I think they finally have their footing. We have Aquaman and Wonder Woman more successful. I love Shazam. I've been very open about that. I think you guys are getting annoyed hearing how much I like the movie, but I think that like they have these movies already. I mean, Wonder Woman 84 already has to be shot, at least entirely. Birds of Prey is deep into production. Joker is wrapped, and I really think they're gonna continue with the plans that they have now. And I think somebody like Peter Safran, who worked on both Aquaman and Shazam as a producer, and he's got other movies already lined up. I could see him, I think, this might just be a weird prediction, but I could see him kind of stepping into a Feige role within the DC world, because they're pushing him out into interviews, which is interesting. They have a producer doing on-camera interviews for Shazam, which I thought was kind of interesting. But he's also kind of overseeing so much of that expansion of these universes within the universe. We're clearly focusing on Atlantis with Aquaman, and the Aquaman sequel is going to go back there, and it probably won't include characters from the grander DC world. The Shazam sequel was, or the Shazam movie doesn't include Black Adam because they wanted to make a Shazam movie. Then they want to make a Black Adam movie. And eventually, probably not in the second one, maybe in the third one, they want to have Shazam and Black Adam fight each other. And it seems like Safran is behind those little pocket universes, and maybe eventually he's going to be the one to connect them all. And I think the DC movies have their trajectory and their slate laid out, and I don't think it's going to be affected by this. I mean, the Warner Brothers as a company, sure, is obviously going to have some effects, but I don't think we'll feel it in terms of the products that we consume.
And I'll say that hits a nail on the head for me. Like, I think it should move out of more the executive level and into something like a Feige, who just kind of manages that, like you said, pocket universe. I think that's something that's been missing there. There's just too much of a wide expanse between executives and directors and creators, and it just keeps... You know,
monkey with symbols.
Yeah, I'm just trying not to say everything that flashed through my head was an expletive, but like, I was just trying to say, yeah, they just keep butting heads and breaking. So I hope it does what you say it does.
Martha.
Unless you got anything great to offer, we can move
on. No, I think that pretty much.
All right, BD sums it up. I mean, if there's somebody who knows about, you know, WB and what, you know, it's this guy, he's hosting Aquaman premieres and whatnot. Like,
I mean, that's his full name.
Yeah. I could see you moving up into the lead creative role. Is that what happens next?
Oh, man.
Don't forget your buddies here podcast.
That's too much pressure. That's way too much pressure for me.
All right, moving right along. Let's talk about Terminator. We haven't really talked about Terminator that much or those kinds of old franchises, but they're still trying to kick. We got a new RoboCop coming. But Terminator's trying to make another soft reboot, and this is funny because I just saw Genesis again for the first time in a long time, and my God.
Why did you do that to yourself?
Because I also watched Salvation, which is a great pilot episode of a TV, but not so much as a, you know, big budget movie. Mm. But Genesis. So this is another soft reboot. And today we learned that the title is going to be, it's been confirmed to be Terminator Dark Fate. This is being made by Deadpool's Tim Miller, and James Cameron came on as a producer and is helping kind of guide this one directly. Arnold Schwarzenegger's back. Linda Hamilton's back. We have a bunch of new people who are joining the franchise, like Gabriel Luna, Marvel's new Ghost Rider, who's going to be playing the new Terminator, which
I
is
like
kind of cool.
Guy.
And Mackenzie Davis, I think her name is Mackenzie Davis, from, what was that thing? What was that?
The film with the show? Title?
Yeah, no, it was from the show about the computers. Halt and Catch Fire. She's going to be.
Did you really say the show about the computer?
Yeah, it was about inventing computers.
That narrows it down.
There are only like two shows about inventing like modern computers.
Yeah.
Halt and Catch Fire is one of them. But anyway, so this is looking like it could be a more legit kind of soft reboot. And I'm kind of intrigued by the title because obviously the words "no fate" are a big deal in the Terminator franchise. In Terminator 1 and 2, no fate was kind of the thematic. It was both a theme and it was a saying that like the Resistance or Kyle Reese and John Connor and Sarah Connor used for to kind of motivate them to go back and do these harrowing things to change the timeline and whole theory. And especially in T2 got into it about, you know, no fate, but what we make was the whole idea. Mm. So that's why Sarah Connor goes kind of crazy and is trying to like kill Miles Dyson and why they battle and to destroy the Terminator and stop Judgment Day. Because, you know, there's this idea that fate is whatever you make. This sounds way, I mean, literally and figuratively darker. It's just like Terminator, Dark Fate. It's just kind of, I was like, well what could that mean? I mean, this one brings, it's kind of a real-time sequel.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's so I was going to ask, Genesis didn't happen?
There's no Genesis.
Okay.
There's T1, there's T2, there's this.
Okay, gotcha.
They're doing the Halloween thing, like they're doing that whole thing. So Linda Hamilton's back as a real-time age Sarah Connor. Okay. Like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger is this age Terminator. We don't know anything else. But this sounds kind of ominous because it's,
Terminator
again, further aged than... well, I don't know what he is. We actually don't know for sure that he is a Terminator in this one. We don't know that for sure. I'm just kind of saying that.
I mean, I'm on board because Miller's in it. Like, right? Miller's involved. You have my attention. I've never been a huge Terminator person. Like, I like them.
Killer robots,
It's fine. Their movies are fine. But, like, I don't love them. Like, I don't have that extra appreciation for them. But I still like them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this has my attention for that. And, you know, that title suggests...
Well, the thing is, I just been bugging me out because it suggests, like, this is a much more... And I can see James Cameron doing something like this. Like, a much more cynical take, which is like, nah, there is no fate what we make anymore. Like, we are screwed. Like, we are screwed. Like, no matter how many times you try to prevent this, like, we've assured our own destruction with
this. I just hope they do something innovative with it. Just make it a different movie than the previous films, but also good. Like, just James Cameron, man. If anybody knows how to make innovative films, it's James Cameron.
Yeah, but he knows how to make it innovative and spectacle while keeping it, as I think we all learned from every story he's ever told, very traditional and grounded in storytelling.
Alita.
Alita, but I'm talking about like Avatar.
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing is Avatar.
He's also
Titanic.
Busy on Avatar.
Yeah, I know.
And only.
No, but if he's.
Kind of sort of.
He has never
this,
lent his name to anything past Terminator 2 in this franchise, so it is significant that he did for this one.
Okay.
I hope it's good. I agree with Matt on everything. I don't really care that much, but with Tim Miller, it's cool.
Wow. I see how this is going to play with the masses. Well, as a real Terminator head, I'm just going to keep it moving now. If you guys want to talk Dark Fate at Kofi Outlaw, we can talk. I don't know what's going on with these guys. All right, stay tuned. Because when we come back, we are going to deep dive into the new Toy Story 4 trailer. And we're going to talk about James Gunn getting his walk of triumph back into the MCU.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
All right, so Toy Story 4. This is a movie. There are toys in it.
Speaking of,
I've been really clear from the beginning that this is not my thing. I'm not a Pixar hater. I love Pixar, but I have never really connected to Toy Story.
Yeah.
Like, it's just never been my thing.
I'm going to let Matt speak here on this one, but I just wanted to say I didn't care really at all. I think we talked about this on one of our earliest podcasts, but then the new trailer, I really got really, really
excited. Okay, but see, I want to hear that because I'm more – because, like, I mean, from our last discussion, right, people know that, like, I appreciate them and I have an enjoyment of these movies. But I'm more curious because last time we talked, you were not – on board, like you didn't care less. So what turned it around in this trailer?
I just thought it, like, I mean, it's a it has everything you expect in a Pixar, like Disney, that the heart, the gut punch, and it seems like it's gonna have all of that. But like, it just seemed refreshing, like the fork concept. I was watching it, and I was sitting there thinking, who in the hell thought up a fork gets a mouth and eyes, and all of a sudden it's a toy, and then that's how. And who paid? Where do you find these people? And what's in the water? What are they? Wow. But yeah. I just thought it was really interesting and seeing Woody seeming kind of lost and just like he's on a mission, but he doesn't know what to do. And he's got to discover. It's a mission of self-discovery for him in a lot of ways. And it just seems like finally a really fresh Toy Story movie. And I thought it looked like a lot of fun, but also a very emotional film. I thought it looked good. I loved the trailer.
Yeah. I came away with the same thing. Like, Forky, I believe is his name.
Yeah.
Who is literally a spork that the young girl puts googly eyes on, and he's now a toy, and he cannot seem to comprehend his new place in the world. Because there's a line here I love where he talks about, like, I'm made for soup and, like, light. And he goes on this whole thing, and he's like, I'm not made for this. I can't cope. And he leaves, right? And that's such a, like, heavy concept put into this very digestible.
So is this now a Toy Story Sausage Party crossover then?
Oh God.
If we're talking about this thing is made for eating food and that object's coming to life.
Please God,
you
no,
are gonna get us letters
so
from
much.
All the Disney fans.
Exactly.
Here it goes. Here we go.
You didn't like Sausage Party?
No, it was terrible. God, I will never get
it. It was
that
the Toy Story
back.
Of food movies.
If Toy Story were completely stupid, yes.
I feel like you just sold Sausage Party to like 4-year-olds and like they're going to be horribly scarred.
No, don't let your kids watch Sausage
Party. Yeah, you didn't add that part. You were like, it's the Toy Story of food movies.
For
like,
adults.
You're leaving out a little bit.
Dude, I've met 5-year-olds who watch The Walking Dead. Nothing's off limits anymore.
That's not a good thing.
No.
That's not something we should praise.
And the
last episode showed us what happens to those kids, right?
The Walking Dead.
Wow.
You
know what?
I derailed us. Toy Story.
Toy Story. Anyway, this is not like Sausage Party, kids. And you can go see this movie.
I mean, conceptually.
But there's a lot of heart. Also, I was very, one of the things I think will surprise in this is that Bo Peep has been missing since like, you know, the last movie, right? So there's this chunk of time where now we're getting to see like what she's been up to. And the fact that she's coping with life way better than Woody is, and like that seems to be the tether. Most of the Toy Story movies have been the tether between Woody and Buzz or Woody and the child, right? And in here, whether it be Andy or Bonnie, and in here it's really between them and like seeing this world. He's kind of been living in this closed off existence, kind of. She opens his eyes to all these things. So there's just a lot of really cool concepts. And there's going to be a ton of heart. There's going to be those moments, like in every Toy Story movie, where you will just be a puddle and a mess. You can already see those things. Key and Peele's characters look hilarious. I mean, they're only showing a snippet here, but you see other spots with them.
Yeah.
It looks really fun. Like, it looks really good. So I can see, though, if you're not a Toy Story fan, or if you've never really enjoyed these movies, I don't think this is going to win you over. Like, I don't think this is going to be the movie to do that.
But I consider myself a casual Toy Story fan.
Okay, yes.
I don't have a Toy Story t-shirt to put it in perspective, but I thought the trailer was great.
Those I could see winning over fans like you.
Yeah.
You just doesn't appreciate it. I don't think it will.
I mean, I hate to be that guy.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't think you
do.
Do
you?
I don't enjoy it. I accept my role in this universe, but I don't enjoy it. I mean, it doesn't bring me any great joy. I like other things. But
like what?
Like what? Like hating
sitting out in the sun with my family, just enjoying nature, things like that. Wow. You know, nice things. But
wow. This is where
I mean, unless I still don't care. I mean, I see it. I still don't care. I think these movies are getting detached. I think it's weird that they're just becoming kind of these insular stories about these toys who just hang out with each other.
So is Toy Story the Fast and Furious franchise of Pixar movies?
No.
You just went on about Terminator.
No, I know.
Do you think, we'll eventually get a...
That brings up a good point. Until Toy Story 5 is showing me these toys in a life or death battle with, like, smart toys that are trying to, like, devour them in their place in the house, there's nothing real about
Toy Story 5, Dark
Fate. What would
be
the best Toy Story crossover with any other franchise?
Oh, franchise?
Yeah. Other characters interacting with
real sex? I don't know.
Like, what?
Real sex
Why are
toys?
You the way you are? To quote Michael Scott. I can't even touch that.
I mean,
that.
If you want to expand the Toy Story universe, no, do all toys come to life? You know what I mean?
Expanding a few things.
No, just stop.
Yeah, it's something out. I'm done.
All right.
Just got James Gunn, all three of us.
Yeah.
No, that was not a party today.
Welcome to the Dark Fate we spoke of. Here we go.
Wow.
So you asked me, hey, man, if you ask me a hypothetical, I got answers for you. I don't know. Did I enjoy that? Yes. Yes, I did. So moving right along past Toy Story and all related franchises and spinoffs, let's talk about something we can all agree on. Let's applaud James Gunn for his triumphant return to the MCU. And I'm going to applaud that man because James Gunn got fired for the MCU for some old tweets where he said some, you know, not so agreeable things, I would say, or try to defend, but they were just old tweets and a lot of them were jokes. And it brought us to this interesting cultural inflection point about, like, how should old tweets and things you said, like, even in jest, affect your job or not? And a lot of people, I mean, safe to say, a lot of people were not on board with this decision by Disney to can him from Guardians of the Galaxy 3. They didn't like it. They weren't all about it. And there's been petitions. His co-stars, I mean, Dave Bautista, I think, has torn up several residences just trying to get James Gunn back into his job. I mean, yeah, it's been a big deal. And then we didn't hear anything for a little bit. You know, we all thought, like, maybe Guardians was done. They were going to use a script. And then it was even more stupid because it was like, why are you using everything about James Gunn except James Gunn physically there? And then we heard this move that DC was stealing Marvel's toys and getting James Gunn to make the Suicide Squad sequel, which is called The Suicide Squad. And, you know, everybody was just like, things that make you go, And yeah, we were all just kind of really interested in that one. We were like, wow, you know, didn't see that coming. Sounds really interesting. And now we find out that, like, yeah, he's coming back. He's doing Guardians 3. He's still doing Suicide Squad and just going to take his time, get that done, then make Guardians 3. And the more interesting part for me that I reported was that, like, yeah, he was never fully out the door, ever. According to, I mean, there's conflicting levels to these reports from, you know, various sources, but it's clear that, you know, as soon as they announced his firing, there was a short period of time before they met him on the side, worked something out, and we're going to kind of keep him around and bring him back. And so this was all just kind of like a non-issue. And I'm sure Disney, as companies always want to do, want to pat themselves on the back and said, yes, we made the power move. We did the right thing. Like, blah, blah, blah. Nah. Like, I wanted to just throw DJ Khaled gifts all over the place. You know, you played yourself, right? Like, don't be maybe so quick to make those announcements. Maybe have some more internal meetings.
Yeah.
Because hey, man, I'm not mad. This was the biggest news to come out of Comic-Con last year, and it wasn't even at Comic-Con.
No, so that was crazy,
right? At least we had people on our website.
Yeah, I was here for that. That was nuts. Like, it was nuts. But
Disney,
like,
comes out of this looking
terrible. I mean, but they're never going to say that. They're just going to power through, like, we made another great executive decision, and it's like, nah, man, you played yourself like that.
I don't know that Disney looks terrible.
They don't look terrible. I mean, they're going to count.
They
As Jim points out all the time, they're just going to wipe their eyes, you know, their tears away with their piles of money. But, like,
I get that, but they look terrible.
Yeah,
they quick, rash decision, and then they
the
didn't even
right
have
now.
The spine to stick by it. Then they do it all behind the scenes, and now they come out and say, well, we double it. Like, they're trying to have the cake and eat it, too. No. You grow a spine.
I mean,
like,
I think
either stick with one or don't.
I mean, we can't do anything right to a mega corporation. It's we can punch them in the knee or something. But like,
fine.
You deserve a DJ Khaled gift.
Yeah,
like,
but I'm sorry. No,
that's
they come
what
out
everything
looking,
does right now. I mean, that
doesn't make it right.
I'm glad. I'm just happy they rehired him because it's setting a precedent that while we have this zero tolerance stuff in terms of jokes and harassment and all these things, that old things that are words versus actions, which people have shown growth from, aren't going to be deciding hardworking and talented people's careers. Like Kevin Hart getting fired from the Oscars. No, well, Warner Brothers, I think, gets the credit for setting the precedent more than Disney does, because Warner Brothers is like, we'll take you back. I think AMC did it before them in terms of Chris Hardwick getting suspended, doing an investigation, and bringing him back on. And I think that's the first time we saw one of these things get undone.
That's true.
That's a different thing, where if what he did was true, you wouldn't rehire him if his accusations of sexual harassment and things turned out. There's no place for that. You can never have somebody who's done that, I think, work in your company. You can't employ that person. But if he just used words a decade ago and has shown that he doesn't think those things are funny, and he kind of, at a time when those jokes were widely accepted, then it's different.
Yeah.
That's what happened to James Gunn. He used words, not actions. He never had any indication of acting as a pedophile. He made a joke about pedophilia, which, yes, I know, I have to say, I condemn the jokes. If I don't say that, maybe I get James Gunn next. But then Disney goes and rehires him, which is a good look, because it shows that
they shouldn't have fired him in the first place. That's the point.
Yeah.
Why did they make such a rash decision? Do your job. You're a giant company. You have people to discuss this.
Because all of these companies are catering to the
percent. So be different. How is that?
So give the credit to Warner Brothers on doing it. I just don't think you can say they look terrible for doing it. I think they were doing what they had no choice but to do, because
had a choice.
How do you have a choice? It's a family company.
I'm not saying they look terrible doing it.
I do.
I'm saying DJ Khaled GIF, you played yourself. And like, don't try to sell me.
That's the difference in what they did at AMC.
Let me just be clear. What I don't like is companies in this BS thing they do, that every decision they make is a power move, with a bunch of dudes slapped back in and being like, that's a good decision, sir. You did it. Yes, you did it impeccably. And it's like, no, you screwed up and did not know what you were doing. You showed weakness, indecision, back and forth, which is the one thing you're not supposed to do in big business, is like, be confident. So I'm just putting it on the record. Like, I don't want to hear anybody try to spin this into Disney makes another successful Disney decision. You played yourself.
Oh, no, I don't think this was a successful. I think the difference here in what AMC did and what Disney did is AMC didn't fire Chris Hardwick.
No, they
suspended him and investigated him.
Yes.
And that was just like weeks before this happened. That happened just before Comic-Con last summer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Disney comes, fires James Gunn. I mean, the day those tweets started circulating again. And I was sort of thinking, man, why didn't they just suspend him? And they're never going to go back on that. So yeah, they played themselves, because they ended up rehiring him. But I'm glad they did in the end, because that's a precedent.
Me too.
I'm glad.
Had to happen at some point, because Kevin Hart, Chris Hardwick, James Gunn, all these different, Aziz Ansari, all these different things. But you have the cases where these things turn out to be true, and they happen to Roseanne and Harvey Weinstein. Like, there's no room for there's different things that are happening. And if they're happening now, especially, they're unacceptable. They happened in the past. Words versus actions is a conversation you have to have.
No, I mean, you don't have to tell me. Like, I'm a 90s kid, and I don't know how you kids do it today. I thank God none of my stuff was digitized from when I was a teenager going into my early 20s.
I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say
those are the only text messages I say to my friends, and even those I scrub from my phone immediately after. Thank God all that stuff we did was never, like, digitized.
Right.
Yeah. Scrub that message right from my phone, like, you know. Yeah, I mean, it is
such
a Barstool
Wild Sports. West. I see the stupid things these college kids put on social media now.
Yeah, it's a Wild West out here still. We're, like, still trying to figure out, like, what to do about all this social media stuff. I for one, am happy about the precedent that's been set by James Gunn, because James Gunn has come out of this looking like roses. He stepped back from Twitter for a while. I mean, that's a nice little vacation. He is now getting more money than he would have been getting from both franchises. And I just think,
we get both movies.
Yeah. Yep. And I think that's a pimp move for him and a good look for fans, because we're going to get a good Suicide Squad movie out of this, I think. And we're going to get the Guardians we know and love. So I'm happy for him. And
I'm just not looking forward to that press tour. You know he's going to get asked about this.
Yeah,
that's the only thing he's going to get asked about.
But he's enough of a power player now. He can maybe just drop out of the press tour and be like,
no,
I'll do select in my room for my select friends.
But that's the thing, is I want to hear from James Gunn. Yeah. I want to hear what he has to say about the movies he makes. And if he drops out, that sucks. Because you know outlets are going to ask about this. That's not something I would go. If I have 5 minutes with James Gunn, I'm not wasting 1 second.
You're
of that
assuming
talking
we would be left
this.
Out. I mean, we could still go to the private suite for a conversation. We're comicbook.com. I don't know.
They know we're not
going to
talk about that. But
we're not. Yeah, sure. I'm not worried about us.
But if he pulls that all together, that would suck.
I don't mean you. Those other people.
We should be the only ones to interview James Gunn.
Yeah. Hey,
that's what
James Gunn private suite. We'll just have a good conversation about the fun stuff.
About the
come on, Comic Book Nation.
Toy Story crossover.
This is a safe space. Anybody who wants to come on Comic Book Nation, it's a safe space here. You guys can come and hang out, and we'll have a great conversation.
All right. Well, I hope we have James Gunn in our studio very soon.
I mean, Skype. We'll take Skype, man. Like, we're futuristic. We got technology.
That's true.
You don't have to come down here to our unknown location in Nashville, which we'll slowly kind of start revealing, because it is a fun little thing about our location and all the absurdity that goes along with
where
it.
Where are we?
Yeah. I mean, we figured out. I mean, it is a pretty absurd location, but that's more origin story stuff. All right, so that'll take us out of our discussion today. We are, as always, again, posting new episodes every Wednesday, every Friday. You can also subscribe on our RSS feed, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio. If you want to continue any of the conversation from today or any episode, you can always hit us up on Twitter at the hashtag ComicBookNation, or you can kind of talk to us individually. You can reach me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can reach me at Matt Mueller CB.
You hit me up at Brandon Davis BD.
And since we have some time, yeah, I mean,
awesome.
I didn't think we were going to have time today. I thought we had like an overpacked show, but apparently we all don't like Terminator and or Toy Story together. So now we have more time.
That's what
so
makes
I thought
the show
that,
Kofi.
I know. So I thought like maybe we should go through and like pull up a review and maybe read it. If I can pull this up, if the internet does what it's supposed to do and all that good stuff, we'll pull up a little review and read something.
Me and Brandon like Toy Story.
Oh my god!
Good trailer.
That's a good trailer. Hard it's a solid find. Trailer.
Not as good as the Avengers Endgame trailer.
Now we're just gonna probably cut this piece. No, wait. Here we go. I think I got it.
Like, do I want to wade into that territory?
All right. Here's one, and I'm gonna read this one because of the name LeBeau. Like a shout out to Gambit, except this isn't Remy, this is his brother Greg. Greg LeBeau gave us a 5-star review and said, "This is my favorite nerd podcast and top 10 favorite podcast ever. This podcast is exactly what I needed. You guys make it easy to digest and fun to listen to and funny. Thanks for everything."
Aww.
Was this review helpful? Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Another
it's
one by JM Stats says, "Pioneering fandom. It's what I've been waiting for, a well-produced fandom podcast that touches on all mediums and outlets, breaking down the biggest topics in all things geek. This is a new go-to for an insider glimpse and analysis of the subjects that I love." Was this review helpful? Yes!
That review gets a little parka. That's a good review.
Yeah, pioneering fandom. I like the word pioneering thrown in.
I think that should be our slogan.
Pioneering fandom.
Congregation.
Pioneering fandom, yeah. JM Stats, you might have started something. We got to make sure to get your T-shirt out.
No
if
royalties.
If you hear your
no
review
royalties.
Read, please hit
producer
us
Jim
up
Viscardi
on
no
Twitter.
Royalties.
Yeah, no royalties. Producer Jim Viscardi.
We got time for one more.
Yeah, we got time for one more? Oh, okay. All right. Okay, here's this one. "Great catch-all by Danner Bo Banner." "Love that the team talks about everything need culture. I find myself even listening to the segments that aren't normally in my wheelhouse. Yes! Great chemistry between the team. Keep it up." Was this review helpful? Very much so, yeah. I mean, that's a good review. I like that one, and I'm glad you made me read that, because getting you guys to listen to things you don't normally listen to and get out of the bubble and maybe discover something, you know, that's a big dream of mine. I don't know why. I don't know why. I care.
I never get to hear this, like, aspirational
stuff. I know.
We care. What
nice.
Makes Kofi happy besides Toy Story?
Yeah, and hating sunshine Toy Story. In the lawn or whatever the hell that was.
Sitting with my family in the lawn in the sunshine? Mike
likes that was, yeah. That
no, nothing gets Kofi going quite like the itch of fresh fertilizer.
Oh my gosh. Okay. That's going to do it for us. We may or may not be back with Brandon Davis again next episode. This is Comic Book Nation. Thank you guys for listening and all the kind reviews. We'll catch you next time.
Deuces.